Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Offensive linemen don't have awards for being great. There's not a Protector of the Year award. I'm knocking at so many doors now to get this award going. I'm going to head spirit and make sure that this gets done before I'm done playing, because there's so many greats. If we have great quarterbacks, we have great running backs, we have rushing titles, we have quarterback passing titles, all those titles are reflections of the old linemen, which are the Protectors.
Deion Dawkins there. Bills and Chiefs, 6:30. But before that, at 3:30, I do believe it's 3:30 or is it 3?
Maybe 3.
Yeah. 3 o'clock, sorry.
Yeah.
3 o'clock, the NFC Championship takes place.
Were you
place.
Not listening to my update? I said 3 o'clock.
There's a lot of things I got to do between segments, man. And I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm only kidding.
I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes the headphones are off when that happens. But you know what is on. And Locked On is Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Eagles and Commanders, 3 o'clock tomorrow. The third time that the two teams will meet this season, to which there were varied degrees of success. They split the season series 1-1. But Louis, there was a little bit of context in Philadelphia's loss after a 10-game win streak.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts got, I think, cheap-shotted in that game and was concussed. And Devontae Smith, if he doesn't drop a pass on the final drive, the Eagles do win that game. So that is one thing that kind of bothers me with the coverage this week, is how people don't really add context to what happened in that game. Jaden Daniels was incredible, 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But the Eagles, for, I would say, 7 of 8 quarters against the Commanders, have done a better job against Jaden Daniels than anybody. So I'm still really confident in this game. And Derek, love the segue. I appreciate the branding for Locked On.
Hey, that's what I do, is I try to hype up the guests as I can. And that's one of my special abilities there, is to help hype up others. But Louis, yeah, I don't know if there's much of a bias on that. That hit that Daniels took in that second Commanders game was ugly and gross, and I do feel like there should have been a flag, a fine, something like that. Like, Hurts was healthily on the ground, and he takes a shot to the head, which then makes Kenny Pickett have to play in that game. And Kenny Pickett ain't no Jalen Hurts. And even though Jalen Hurts' production has been down this year, that's still a massive step back, having to rely on your backup quarterback for the majority of a football game there. That said, there was a bit of the team did get a lot of turnovers on Washington in that second game, but I do think there was a strange amount of production that they did allow Jaden Daniels to have in that second meeting, where you're looking at the defense and going, that might have been the worst you played all season.
No, that's a good point. And the Eagles defense, since their week 5 bye week, has been the best in football. And in the playoffs, I think they've been the best defense in the NFL as well. But in that game, it was kind of uncharacteristic, where you did see a lot of lapses in communication and coverage. Zach Bond, who was a first-team All-Pro linebacker, up for Defensive Player of the Year, he's a finalist for that award, kind of had an off game in the second half. Quinyon Mitchell, who held Terry McLaurin to no catches in that first matchup on Thursday Night Football in Philly, that second game allowed some plays. He did allow a 30-plus yard touchdown from McLaurin. So it was an uncharacteristic performance from the defense. But at the same time, the silver lining, the glass half full approach from that game, was on the road, they still did force 4 turnovers on that Commanders offense, including 2 interceptions from Jaden Daniels. So even in that game where Jaden had an incredible, heroic fourth quarter, the defense still did flip the field multiple times, including in the fourth quarter. The second last drive, Reed Blankenship got an interception that we thought was going to be the game-sealing pick. But again, Devontae Smith has this drop that he never suffers from, and then that kind of gave Daniels one last chance. So I'm not trying to discredit what the Commanders have done this year. Jaden Daniels is the best rookie that I've seen. But I'm still very confident in the Eagles in this game. I think outside of quarterback, they win every other matchup. I really do think they have the advantage across the roster.
Louis, I'm going to be in agreement with a lot of things that you're going to say here. And it's not just because of our friendship and having that bias, but you don't win 14 games in the regular season and another two in the playoffs on accident. You do it by being a good football team, and the Eagles are just that. How scary are they overall? Because everyone knows about Saquon Barkley, him being in the MVP race, which is rare territory for a running back, let alone threatening the single season rushing record. But the rest of this team kind of gets slept on a little bit because of that. What are the greatest strengths and weaknesses of Philadelphia here?
Yeah, honestly, in 27 years watching the Eagles, this might be the most complete roster I've ever seen Howie Roseman put together. And I think 2022, it's close. Like, that team was pretty complete and unbeatable on both sides of the ball. There aren't the household names, though, on this year's team that there was in 2022. It's why I think their roster still is a little bit underrated. Like, on offense, of course, you have the household names of A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Hurts. The offensive line is one of the best in football. The reason the defense, I feel like people didn't realize they were number one in the league for about 12 to 13 weeks, is because they are the youngest defense in football. They are number one in average age of starter, with most of them being under 26 years old. So it's a lot of rookies. It's a lot of first, second-year players. But at the same time, these are guys from Georgia. These are first-round selections, first and second-round picks. And so they're just a complete football team. They're finally not just built from the trenches. They have strengths at linebacker, corner, safety, a lot of positions in years past that Howie Roseman has just kind of put Band-Aids over. He finally this year took the time to invest real assets in them, like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean at corner, two Rookie of the Year finalists. So this team does a little bit of everything. And honestly, I haven't seen, there's been a lot of really good Eagles teams in my lifetime, but there's only been one or two that you say, I don't know if they really have a weakness, if they stay healthy and if they don't suffer from self-induced mistakes. I don't know how they don't win a championship. So it's a special team, but at the same time, Jalen Hurts has to, speaking of health, like, he's got to be healthy in this game if they're going to get it done.
So, Louis, Jaden Daniels has posted a higher QBR, 96.1, against the Eagles defense of more than any quarterback this season. And their last Week 16 road game versus Philly, he passed for 258, five touchdowns, and rushed for 81 yards. What can the Eagles defense do to, I guess, adjust to stifle him a little bit this time around?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I don't think Jaden Daniels, you're not going to shut him down for four quarters. I mean, what he's done in the playoffs, it's unbelievable. Again, for a rookie, I think the only thing I've seen close to it is Andrew Luck in 2012, most likely. I mean, if you take away the resume and what year they're in, you might say Jaden Daniels is playing the best quarterback in the playoffs right now. So I don't think you're going to totally shut him down. What you have to do is, I think, first off, get a lead, because if he has the ball in the fourth quarter, I'm nervous. Like, he's a clutch player. I think you have to find a way to, when you get pressure on him, stay disciplined, stay in your rush lanes, don't over pursue, because if you don't, and you got to finish, because if you don't make that first play, if you don't get him on the ground initially when you make contact and he escapes, then he can really make you pay. So there's a discipline you have to have with Jaden Daniels, and I would try to find a way to keep him inside the pocket, like try to suffocate that pocket on the edges and make him step up. Just try to take that mobility away. It's easier said than done. You're not going to do it for the entire game, but if you can do that on third and longs, if you can build a lead and make him, you know, be aggressive, I think that's when you're looking pretty good. So you're not going to totally shut him down, but there are ways to do it. And I do think, again, the majority of those first two games against Jaden Daniels, Vic Fangio's defense did a really good job of limiting what he does best.
Lou DiBiase joining us here on the Western Hotline. Eagles and Commanders, 3 o'clock tomorrow. Lou, when it comes down to it, we do have to talk about a potential outcome here. An awkward one for us. I mean, we are longtime friends at this point, and both doing our thing here within the media circles. But there could be a matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. What would your confidence level be in if that was the matchup? Because for me, I would hate having to match up against Saquon Barkley, because he can hurt you in a multitude of ways. The Bills can try to use that heavier formation, going a base defense with three linebackers again, but Barkley can also hurt you in the pass.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm really nervous about the idea of the Eagles and Bills playing in a Super Bowl. A lot of people have asked me about it and said, like, this is the dream scenario, right? Like, it's win-win. Either the Eagles get a second Super Bowl, or your hometown team, like your city, like they get one, right? For me, it's kind of lose-lose because I think I won't get to enjoy either experience to its fullest. Like, I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and I have been since I was a little kid. I don't want to see that team lose a Super Bowl twice in 3 years. Like, that's a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want to that team to be the reason, like, Derek, you're not celebrating in 2 weeks on Sunday night in the city. Like, I don't want to take that away because I know what winning a Super Bowl feels like. So it's been a conflicting week. I don't want either team to lose, though, on Sunday either. So it's been an emotional roller coaster. It's just been, like, jumping through these obstacles. But I do think if it is Eagles-Bills when it comes to, like, the X's and O's, the actual matchup, I do like the Eagles in that game because of Saquon Barkley and the run game. But Josh Allen has been so special this year that I think there will come times Jalen Hurts has to equal that. He has to match that. And I just we haven't seen that a lot this year. We've seen it in the past with Jalen, including Super Bowl 57 against Pat Mahomes. But this year, he hasn't really had to do that a lot. So I wonder if Josh Allen is having success against the Eagles defense and there's a bit of a shootout. Like, can Jalen still go toe-to-toe with one of the best of the best? The big thing really is that health. I'm watching Sunday. Like, if he can't move and he's limited the rest of the way with his mobility, then I'm a little bit nervous moving forward. But yeah, I mean, the fact that that's a possible matchup in 2 weeks it's pretty surreal.
Yeah, like, it's like, dream scenario? No, nightmare. Hate both ways of this. Like,
I mean, there's both ways to look at it. Because, again, yeah, it could be win-win. I either get to see a second Super Bowl, and I mean, a lot of people never get to see one, or I get to see all my best friends and family, like, celebrate the first win. Like, that's awesome. But I just don't know if I personally will get to fully, you know, enjoy either experience if they're playing against each other. So, I don't know. I guess you could look at it in two different ways.
So speaking of a Bills-Eagles matchup, last season Jake Elliott ended an exciting contest between the two with a crazy field goal. This postseason, though, he's made just 2 of 5 extra point attempts. Does he worry you at all going into these later games, like coming down to crunch time, if you will, a game winner? How are you feeling?
No, yeah, the Eagles have definitely had a kicker problem this year, and it's crazy because Jake Elliott, like that game against the Bills in Super Bowl 52, Super Bowl 57, he's been one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. And honestly, you can make the argument he's been the best kicker in Eagles history. But this year, he just, with the extra points, he missed 2 of them. He missed 2 short field goals and extra points against the Rams last Sunday. He has been a problem, and I do wonder if there is that moment that it comes back to bite them where he's got to make one of those big ones and he just can't do it. Normally, he's missed short kicks throughout his career, but the 50-plus yarders, he's always been money. This year, with only a few weeks left in the regular season, he was 0-for. I don't think he had made 1 or 2 50-plus yard field goals this year. So that's normally his bread and butter, and I'm a little bit concerned. I will say, though, he did hit 2 really clutch field goals in the fourth quarter against the Rams last week in a blizzard. So that was, I think, a big confidence boost for him. But, yeah, if it's a close game and it comes down to a field goal, I, like, in years past, I'm like, Jake the Snake's got this. This year, I don't have that confidence. So, yeah, that's something I'm definitely – it's in the back of my head, and we'll see if that scenario plays out.
No matter how many games the Eagles play, that would probably still be a concern. By the way, officially 1 of 7 in the regular season from 50-plus.
Yeah.
So,
thank you. Yeah.
So for Bills fans, you know, hearing about that there with Jake Elliott, like, Tyler Bass
– understands.
I mean, we as a fan base, I get it, having a nervousness with the kickers. Because kickers, as it seems all around this year, have been a little bit on a downswing there, Louis. But I don't want to talk too much about legs. I want to take this last moment to help laugh at a division rival. What was with the Dallas Cowboys hiring process? And how great is it that Jerry Jones continues to hold this team back?
No, I'm so glad you brought this up. By the way, fun fact, the Cowboys are the only team in the NFC since 2000 that have not been in the NFC Championship. I think that trend is going to continue. Brian Schottenheimer, the fact that this guy, I didn't even know he was still coaching in the league. The fact that he is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys now is, especially when the correlation, the timing of the Eagles and Commanders being in the Final Four. And then here's Jerry Jones over here making Schottenheimer his head coach. It's hilarious. Like, and the problem with the Cowboys, if you're a Cowboys fan, there is no way out of this because Jerry Jones can't get fired. So he's not going to fire himself. He's always going to be the GM until the day he's gone. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. But it's not surprising, though, either. Jerry Jones wants a coach he can control. And that's why I thought it was surprising that he even met with Deion Sanders. I know that's his guy, but there's like Brian Schottenheimer. That's a Jerry Jones type of coach. So it doesn't surprise me in the slightest, but brings me a lot of joy because I don't think Dallas is competing for a Super Bowl anytime soon.
Yeah, considering Washington is now a long-term threat here in the NFC East.
Right.
Especially if Daniels continues to play like he does, he might just immediately take best quarterback in the NFC away. But it's always nice to know that there's a team willing to shoot themselves in the foot as often as Dallas has.
And who knows? I mean, if the Giants, let's say, I don't know if Shadur or Cam Ward will be there at three overall, but let's say the Giants get a quarterback. I mean, Dallas could be at the bottom of this division for years to come, and that puts a smile on my face no matter what happens on Sunday.
All of our faces as well.
Everyone's. I mean, who doesn't like hating on the Dallas Cowboys there, Louis? Last thing I've got for you, though, overall, with the season that has been, and I do appreciate the fact, though, that, the teams that have been good and bad, it seems like they were written in Sharpie this year. The definitives of, of course, in the AFC, it's the Bills and the Chiefs, the one and the two. And the two-seed Philadelphia Eagles, business as usual. While the injuries ultimately caught up to the Detroit Lions, the NFC was deeper this year in the definitive. These teams are all good. They all have a chance. And Washington just did a better job of protecting the football overall in their postseason so far. When it comes down to this, though, have you ever seen a season like this where the good teams were just put in cement, written in Sharpie, as concrete and as solidified as it could be, and these bad teams, there are teams with four wins that are picking seventh or eighth?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. There was a lot of great this year and a lot of really, really bad, and there really wasn't a whole lot of middle. Normally, that's surprising because the NFL, especially with 17 playoffs, it is normally there is a lot of parity in this league for the most part. The NFC, like you said, it is a lot better than it's been in years past. Like that middle ground of the conference, the Green Bay's, Minnesota's, Washington is the sixth seed that got to the Final Four. I do think the NFC in general is a lot better because the quarterback play has been getting better over the last 2 years. But yeah, at the same time, it's kind of chalk in the Final Four. It's the four best teams, you can make the argument, or at least the four of the best quarterbacks, four of the best rosters. It's not really surprising who made it to the end. And yeah, I've never seen this personally, but I don't know. Maybe the more the league goes to an 18-game schedule, maybe that's going to go away a little bit. I don't know. Maybe the playoff format needs to change up. I think there's something the NFL needs to do within these next few years. Not to say I don't like that the best of the best are there at the end, but I don't know. It's an interesting discussion. I've truly never seen anything like it this year. I do think it makes for a good finish because I love all the storylines that could happen with these four teams if any of them won a championship.
Louis, I appreciate you being able to take the time here today. Always appreciate you, my friend. And first of all, we got to hang out soon. But second of all, most importantly, let everyone know where to hear your work if people want to hear anything at all about the Philadelphia Eagles.
For sure. If it's Eagles, Bills, you guys will be able to hear the other side of the conversation on Locked On Eagles every Monday through Friday. I do Locked On Eagles daily. So you can find that on YouTube and any podcast platform. And I'm sure Derek will be talking soon if that scenario plays out. But enjoy Sunday, my friend.
You too. Try to enjoy it as best you can because that's been the theme today for me is we should be able to appreciate this because the last time the Bills were in the AFC Championship game, we were not all allowed to hang out with each other. We were not all allowed to see each other. So there's a social construct to this that we did not get 4 years ago. So that's going to be the goal is definitely to try to enjoy it this time around.
Same, man, same. So hopefully we'll see you soon.
Hopefully we'll talk again about this and bring up your nightmare scenario.
Hopefully, man. I appreciate it.
I hope to bring your nightmares to life. Bye, Louie.
See you, Derek.
That's Lou DiBiase, Locked On Eagles, joining us there on the West Her Hotline. And that is a fun little predicament that Louie has. Fun because I don't have to live it.
Yeah,
but
right.
At the same time, that is one of my close friends.
Mm-hmm.
That would have that struggle, and I have to witness him struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm here, man.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I'm sitting here, and we're having a day. Mm-hmm. Win or lose, we're on. And I'm excited for that.
I can't wait. Whatever scenario, if the Bills are in the Super Bowl, I'm excited. Like yes. At the end of the day, and I think they have a real shot, as we've said all day. So it's an exciting time to be a Bills fan. Very exciting time.
Yes, and that's the thing, is that I appreciate this too, because no, of course I'm not saying that I wouldn't want a Super Bowl. What I am going to say though is, let's make sure we appreciate the ride while it's going on too.
Yeah.
You don't want it to stop.
The retrospective looks always going
to
be.
You don't want
different.
It to stop, but at the same time, acknowledge that this is fun as hell.
Mm-hmm. We're on quite the ride.
But let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's keep having fun.
Encore. Here we go.
Keep going. Keep the hands up in the air. The roller coaster has not stopped. keep screaming like your life depends on it. No, just keep screaming like you're enjoying it, actually. Even the downtimes of the season, what downtimes? They won 13 games. What are you talking about? Okay, fine. What about the stressful times? There was really only one down point in the season. It was week 4 and week 5.
Yeah.
Concurrent losses.
And they made an immediate response by signing Amari Cooper to the offense, and the defense got healthier. So things looked up after that.
You know? Not only that, they rifled off 7 wins in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the part where you're like, okay. It's same old Bills. Mm-hmm. I remember saying it was same old Bills. Like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And you clinched it on December 1st.
Yeah.
You clinched the division on December 1st.
And the one game you dropped was a trap game against the Rams that they played their best game of the season and could not replicate that from that point forward.
They could not replicate that offensively for their entire season.
Mm-hmm. That was they played their best game of the season against the Bills.
Yes.
And the Bills still scored 40-something points on them
lost. The Bills scored 42.
Yeah.
Bills put up 90 points in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That was nuts.
Yeah. Quarterback broke records pretty much every week.
So stressful.
Well. Mm-hmm.
So stressful. But again, this season has been one for the ages, and I think expectation versus reality was a real help for this.
Yeah.
The expectation
weren't high.
Heading into the season was, yeah, they'll probably win the division. And
here
we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here. And I'm more or less talking on a personal anecdote. Nationally,
It was
something else.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing, but
my guess is takes.
Yeah, because
they were doing takes.
All of our takes were
takes
the Bills,
are more dangerous than drugs. Don't do takes, kids.
Yeah. It was the Bills division until it's
don't
not.
Do drugs, kids. But also don't do takes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do takes, kids. Yeah.
It's the Bills division until it's not. Until proven otherwise.
Until
that's
proven
just how
otherwise.
It is. That's how it's going to be.
All right, we'll come back. Do one more little segment before Brian Colziel joins us to merge Sports Talk Saturday into Sabres pregame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a day of surprise guests here, too, by the way.
Yes.
I do like that. We had Zach Penkew on in the last hour, just on a whim, last minute there.
Saw him at the airport and got to get him on.
Brian Colziel will join us here to end the show in about a half hour's time. So probably look at Brian at 2:45.
Okay.
And there we go. And then Sabres and Oilers. This afternoon here on WGR.
The thing that I realized about playing on all those teams is, first of all, the team doesn't really need you. Here you have so many players that are doing their job that they can get the job done without you. So that's kind of where the ego dies and the pride is put aside for the sake of the team. You know, like the old saying, there's no I in team. There truly isn't. And everybody is doing their job. That's how you win a championship. And so when you look at it from that point of view, all that matters is, you know, being the last team to win a football game.
Bills wide receiver Amari Cooper.
That's really refreshing to hear from an athlete, professional athlete. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't hear that often. Put the ego aside, put the pride aside.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you win a championship. Like, that's really refreshing to
me.
Considering the departure of a certain someone from last year. I'm not blaming anything on Stephon Diggs. He was a phenomenal wide receiver here. But there's a clear difference on this roster and in the locker room. Just vibes in general. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The ego, there's no ego.
Yeah.
And that's, again,
I think that's
I'm not
part
trying to
of it.
Start it. Like, I'm not trying to start that again because I have nothing but respect for Diggs and everything he did here. But there's Amari Cooper saying that,
And you would never catch Stephon Diggs saying something like that, I don't think.
I think he would say that, but I also...
But would he mean it like Amari Cooper means it?
And
that's
think
the question.
You know, the intensity of Diggs versus Cooper, who's very... He's relatively silent.
He's mild-mannered.
Yeah. He's mild-mannered for a player that has had great production in this league for years. Obviously, it hasn't happened here with the Bills, but he is, like you said, a very mild-mannered player. But I also think when you talk about the mindset, and I do think that it is contagious because this is where I was wrong about Stephon Diggs and the departure because I ignored this part of it. In the locker room, and even just like to the media, anything like that, Stephon Diggs has always presented as this intense, gotta win, you know, like the desire to win is there. And if I don't see everyone as intense as me about it, we're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're going to have a problem, but like, you know how it is. Like Diggs, you know, did ultimately ask off of this team. And I do think that it's that his personality clashed with what the Bills ultimately are showing themselves to be this year, which is lovingly a bunch of goofballs.
Yeah.
That just want to have fun and play football.
They're just like the fellas. Like that's what I would say.
And that's the thing is when I say that they don't, that they display a lack of fear for mistakes, that has something to do with it. Because they know the season can end at any moment, but they're not afraid of it. And not that Stephon Diggs was afraid. I'm never going to assume these things. I'm not Ryan Clark. I'm not going to assume anything. But
yeah, right.
Of people's feelings.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, RC.
But what I am going to say is that it does look like the attitude is a little bit more unified. They're all goofballs that just want to have fun. So much so that even the coach is publicly displaying it now. Where he's the one doing snow angels.
That was, I remember watching that out in the newsroom, just like, what? McDermott's doing a snow angel?
I think that, like, you and I looked at each other and went, yeah, this year is different.
Yeah.
It is different.
And yes, the next week they'd go on to lose to the Rams, but the vibes were still completely unmatched.
Still one of these things where you look at them and go, okay, this is, like, this team's attitude is absolutely different because it's not the pressure of having to run it back with the same group. They are a group that knows and feels together that they can do this while also knowing that they don't have to be afraid of the failure.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever happens, even in the downswings, they can come back from it no matter what. It's a mix of that confidence and that fearlessness. That's where I think things go the right way for them.
Absolutely.
And that's how I think that like it is different. That's where I feel it's different. Thank you to everyone, by the way, that has called in today. Especially the people that just decided to start going with random Randy Savage.
Yes. And then we kept that rolling.
Kept that rolling. Another call added into it. James tweeting in, I'm Josh Allen, the style and profile and limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing son of a gun.
Oh my God.
That's not quite Randy Savage, but it still counts.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to bring that one back. Big Mike tweeting in, been an Eagles fan as well since the early 90s because Cunningham was my favorite athlete ever. Bills, Eagles, always my dream Super Bowl, and now that the Birds have theirs, I'd be ecstatic for a Bills win over them. Obviously, reflecting on what Louie and I talked about to end that call on the last segment. But thank you to everyone that has called in, by the way. You guys have been awesome, especially these last two shows, connecting with people in a way, like emotionally, that it really has been a stretch that I'm going to look back at endearingly with my career here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's awesome.
What a great start for me, honestly. Like, this is, I couldn't have asked for a better time to really get into it.
Yeah, this postseason has definitely been different in that sense. Did I instigate things last year in the divisional round against the Chiefs? Absolutely. Came in here basically with the equivalent of like eating 15 pixie sticks and having the, So. But I do think, though, that this is it's a great opportunity for this team. And not only because of what they have shown to be, but the confidence that they exude.
It's just exciting. And I know it's like a retrospective look too.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too retrospective because we've still got two football games as far as I'm concerned, but mm-hmm. one for sure. And it's going to be a good one. I legitimately couldn't be more excited. And last week was the nerves because the divisional round is where it's ended for many years, right? At the hands of Josh Allen's peers. And they finally did it, and here we are. And
all right.
We're at the AFC Championship.
Real
again.
Quick, I want to get the injury report, the Barnstrom injury report, mm-hmm. brought to you by the Barnstrom Injury for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Taylor Rapp officially out for this game as he is dealing with that hip injury. Baylen Spector, questionable with a calf. He has not been activated from the injured reserve yet. Christian Benford, questionable with a concussion, but he did fly with the team, which might be a step toward potential progress. As for Kansas City, they've got no one because, of course, they don't.
Mm-hmm. Why would they? That red water, man, I'm telling you.
No, devil magic. I'm Kathy Bates in The Waterboy. Devil, 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 devil.
She's the devil.
Devil, 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 devil.
mm-hmm.
But, hey, if you've liked this show, I've got great news for you. We'll have more of this tomorrow. At 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Kick off some pregame coverage.
What I don't know if I'll have more of right now is Brian Koziel, who comes up next with us to close out Sports Talk Saturday along with Joe Kelly. I'm Derek Kramer. This is WGR. Welcome back. Last segment here of an extended Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you with this last segment, being joined by Brian Koziel as the Buffalo Sabres are set to finish out their West Coast road trip with the Edmonton Oilers, a 4 o'clock faceoff, which means Brian and the gang will get things going at 3. But we figured we can give Brian a chance to talk a little bit more about how he's feeling about, hey, yeah, I know, Brian, you have to cover the Sabres, but how are you feeling about the Bills with this game tomorrow with the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I feel about as good as we really have, I think, going into a playoff game in Kansas City. I know that it's easy to argue why maybe this is the best matchup that they've had going into KC, but the Chiefs are still finding ways to win, and as much as I watched them all year and want to discredit their record and discredit their wins, they're still finding ways to win. So I do want to give them credit for that. They have this just incredible knack for finding ways to pull out games. And I think that's something that the championship teams do. So I don't want to just throw it aside and say, look, the Chiefs are a fraud. The Chiefs don't look good. I mean, they're in the AFC Championship and they went 15-1 in games that they played their starters in. So that's still mm-hmm. got to be worth something in the NFL. So, you know, while Denver got a field goal block and while, yes, it seems as though every week they get calls that go in their favor, and I think they do, I also want to credit them for the fact that in games that they've tried to win, they're 16-1 this year. So that's got to be worth something. I do like this matchup for the Bills as much as I ever have against Kansas City, but I also don't want to think it's going to be just going to be the fact that the Bills are just better. You're playing in Kansas City and you're playing Mahomes and Reed. Like, I think that's still going to be a matchup that's going to be difficult. And I think the Bills have to play their A game to win. I think they're capable of it. I do like their chances, but I think if you can't have an off day and still expect to beat this Chiefs team, I still think they're very, very good. They're in their seventh straight AFC title game for a reason.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think the word's going to be, once we get there, a little bit stressful, I think. I do think that any feelings that everyone had last week against Baltimore, be ready to magnify them. I don't think, like you said, they are not a 15-win team. In the AFC Championship by accident. Like, both of those things don't happen.
Derek, yeah, I agree. The one thing, sorry to interrupt you, fine. That Kansas City, I feel like this year, though, has shown their ability to play four quarters of incredible offense. And I think that's also been easily shown by the stats that they haven't reached 30 yet this year in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So while I think in previous playoff games against Kansas City, we always had that feeling of you've got to score on every possession, I don't know necessarily if the Bills feel like they are if they're going to have to win this game. Obviously, you'd like them to. I also wonder if that'll come into decision-making with what McDermott does with field goals versus going for it, punts versus going for it. He may, you know how he has said, hey, you know, him and Joe Brady go into a week with the thought of, is this going to be a week that we have to go for it on every fourth down? Is this going to be a week where we feel like we can play it a little bit more conservative? Like, I wonder how he feels this week about what the Chiefs really can do offensively. The fact that knowing, hey, you don't have to get to 35 to maybe win this game. Maybe 27 is enough. Maybe 24 is enough. Will that affect the decision-making? I actually hope he doesn't, because I think McDermott's been outstanding on fourth down this year. I think he's been very good in terms of when to go for the touchdown versus go for the field goal, when to go for it on fourth versus punt. I think he's done a really, really nice job on that. I know the stats back up that he's as good as anybody in the NFL in terms of how win percentage changes with fourth down decision-making. So I guess I would say just continue to do what you do. That's the only thing that I don't want him to do is feel like, well, this is the AFC title game. I have to be more careful, or I have to be more conservative, or, you know, three here versus a chance to get six. I'll take it because it's a high-pressure moment. No, whatever he's done for the first set of games here so far this year, just continue to do that, and then I feel like they'll be in a good spot.
Brian, yesterday, our own Mike Shope tweeted this out. I don't know if you got to see it. Bills get a touchdown with 30 seconds left Sunday to cut the Chiefs' lead to 28-27. Each team is guaranteed a possession in overtime. What do you think? Do you kick the field goal, or do you go for two? Or kick the extra point, or go for two, I should say. If you're in that situation, do you trust Tyler Bass, or are you taking that guaranteed extra possession if you can?
Yeah, I think I'm going for two there. I think Allen with the ball on the two-yard line, with all the options that you have with him, I think I'd rather have that play. I know it's one and done, and anything can happen on one play, but you have a lot of other things that have to go your way. You have to stop the Chiefs, you have to score, or however the Chiefs score, you have to top that. I'd take one play with Allen from the two. I think maybe the answer to the question should be, I mean, how many plays have the Bills run from the two this year? Maybe we could see what their actual outcome is on those plays. That might be the best answer statistically to see what they would do there. But I'd take it. I would take what I think is the NFL's best quarterback in Allen, and from the two-yard line, the fact that he can run it in, throw it in, do a whole bunch of different things, I'd sign up for going for two in that spot.
Oh, I don't want to do this part. We have to switch over to hockey, Brian, begrudgingly.
There's a game today. I forgot.
Kicking, screaming, being dragged down the hallway here. But there is a game being played today between the Buffalo Sabres and the Edmonton Oilers. No Connor McDavid today for Edmonton, as he's serving the last game of his three-game suspension. Meanwhile, for Buffalo, they've won 18 games out of 48, and it has not been good enough this year. Still sitting 6 points in last place in the Eastern Conference, and now 12 points out of a wild card position. For a team that had a season starting so promising, to go back into the same pitfalls has got to be one of the more disappointing and crushing seasons of a team in the midst of 13 years of a playoff drought.
I think so. I think that this was supposed to be a year you thought that the coaching was going to solve things. And maybe Don Granato and all the coaches in front of them, you know, they all had their flaws. None of them were perfect, but Lindy Ruff has come in, and what has he done? Well, this team is in last. Now, I'm not blaming Lindy. I'm not saying Lindy Ruff's the reason they're in last. I think this roster makeup is why the reason they're in last. I think this team's inability to understand how to play for three periods, executing a game plan, is a huge reason why. But they are going nowhere fast. They actually, you know, overall as of late, you could say are playing fine. But that 13-game winless streak is something that's going to haunt them for the rest of the year. They're 12 points back of Columbus. If you said to me at any point in the regular season,
right,
in any spot on the calendar, that you'd be 12 back of the Columbus Blue Jackets, I would have said, oh, well, they've fired the coach and the GM by this point already, right?
Yeah. Nope.
I think what's really discouraging is that this team is sitting in dead last and 12 back of Columbus and 6 back of the second worst team in the East, and nothing's been done. They haven't sent a guy to Rochester.
They haven't made a
legitimate move. They haven't waved a guy. The only move all year has been James Reimer back and forth, Right. Yeah. That's all it's been. It's been James Reimer goodbye, James Reimer reclaim. That has been the only thing they've done all year. They haven't done anything. There hasn't even been the token, let's trade Jacob Bryson for a sixth-round draft pick. Or let's waive Nick Obey-Kubel because he can't even get into the lineup over Tyson Kozak.
Yeah.
Or there's been nothing.
Nothing.
This team, which is in the most dire straits possible in the standings, I mean, the fact that Kevin Adams is so scared to do anything. Like, we saw the big blockbuster trade yesterday. Rantanen is not coming to the Buffalo Sabres
because of the fact
that they can't get him there.
Reminding me that Martin Nechas got traded. That's going to make me throw a chair.
Yes, but you're allowed to do things in the league. Other teams are doing it, including good teams.
Yep.
And the fact that this team is where they are in the standings and they've done nothing other than reclaim James Reimer. That has been their season of moves to reaction to where they are in the standings. And that, to me, is extremely disappointing.
Yeah, and like I said, this has to be one of the toughest, even in a 13-year playoff drought, which is going to go to 14. Year 14's definitely got to be the most disappointing of them because of the inaction or lack of response to where they have gotten themselves.
Yeah, just sitting on their hands, essentially. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes when you have these seasons is, oh, well, Celebrini's sitting there or McDavid's sitting there.
Right.
There's not even one of the.
There's not even one of those.
There's not even one of those coming. So to say, well, at least we could, have a top three draft pick. Well, we might, but at least what these draft experts are saying that this draft is not going to have the superstar at the top or the top, it's not going to be the McDavid Eichel kind of scenario. So not that even an 18-year-old would save this team, but you can at least say, well, at least we got that chip.
You and Paul Hamilton are the real troopers of this station, Brian. I just need to make sure I say that.
Thank you.
Well, but I'm going to make sure we end things on a happy note here. Mm-hmm. Brian, I hope you're able to watch the game tomorrow between the Bills and the Chiefs and be able to enjoy it in any way possible with the stress to it, too. Enjoy the stress. I mean, this is going to be something incredibly fun. I do think it's stressful, chaotic, anxiety riddled, but I do think that everyone should be able to take it in and enjoy all aspects of that.
I agree. And luckily there is no Saber game tomorrow, so I can
there you go.
Enjoy
there you
it
go.
Fully.
Exactly. You don't have a job.
There's been
to
Saber
do.
Games in the past.
You can
during
kick
playoff
back.
Games and I'm always like, oh geez.
You can kick back and have the day. Take the day and enjoy your day off.
Thank you. I will.
But for now, we'll hear from you in a couple moments regarding Sabres and Oilers. Brian, it's good to talk to you again, and we'll do so again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Brian Koziel there on the Western Hotline. He's coming up next.
Immediately.
Following us as Sabres pregame gets started on the other side. For Evan DePasquale on the board, for Joe Calley, for our guests in Bruce Nolan, Lou DiBiase, and Zach Penkew, as well as Brian Koziel, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Joe and I are back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for Bills and Chiefs. Brian Koziel on the other side here on WGR.